Well, she's all over in Qatar this morning, and France have beaten the Socceroos 4-1 after the Socceroos took a shock 1-0 lead, courtesy of Craig Goodwin after 9 minutes. But then, well, there was a five-minute period there where Rabiot, the Juventus player, and Olivier Giroud, the veteran, scored in a short space of time. Then in the second half, again, two quick goals within 3 minutes, one from Kylian Mbappe, and then Mbappe, a fantastic assist to Giroud to score a double. The 36-year-old. So 4-1, it's finished in the end. And the shock result earlier, or late last night, was Saudi Arabia beating Argentina 2-1. And apparently, I've read reports that Argentinian journalists were even crying in the mix zone, where sort of players drift through and interviewed by media from around the world. There were Argentinian journalists in tears. Well, Loz, we lost 4-1 here this morning. We're at the Stain, by the way, if you're just tuning in, iconic hotel in Manly, across the road from the beach on what is a stunning morning. Would you say there were many tears shed here this morning?
Look, I think we do it a little bit differently over here in Australia, you know. There was no devastation, there was no tears. There were a lot of people disappointed with the result, but the group that I walked past, they said, "Oh, well, boys, who shout?" So, I don't think they were too concerned. Like, it's just, there's no tears, there's no nothing. They're out there celebrating still, our boys. They were happy with 4-1, so just a different mindset of people around the world for the wonderful game of soccer.
Oh, yeah, it just goes to prove it really is a religion in places like Argentina, isn't it? But I'd say we're a distracted population, would you say?
Right, there was no devastation. It was, oh, well, who shouted at boys? Move on.
On the text line, morning boys, it started with such hope, but a thrashing in the end. Make it out of our group. Fanciful garbage, says The Factor. Morning gentlemen, only two countries in the world play soccer, Australia and the USA. The rest of the world play football. And if you cannot see the difference, then you just didn't watch Australia versus France. Cheers, the Blue Bonnet, sending that one through. But it's time to talk. We're going to speak to a Wallabies legend who was a month ago, was inducted into the New South Wales Hall of Champions, which will be celebrated at a ceremony in Sydney next Monday. He was also the boss, of course, of our successful 2027 Rugby World Cup hosting bid. Phil Kearns joining us. Kearnsy, good morning, mate. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. 4-1 defeat. Not disgraceful.
But, not disgraceful. Well, you would have been in your man cave there this morning.
Mate, went to swimming training early and then had a little peek. So disappointing.
Swimming training, Kearns. You've been swimming for a long time, haven't you? You get down there to the Balmoral, is it?
I have. I was down there, down to Manly as well. But there's a little pool near where I live, and there's a little squad there. When I say little squad, there was four of us this morning, so that's it. And we do about 2.5-3 Ks. So, got to look as fit as you, Loz.
It gets harder as you get older, Kearns. You know that. You're in good shape, though. I saw you the other day, and you looked in really good shape.
For an old bloke, you know, we're just edged over 55. So, Laurie's a long time since you and I were in that beehive together back in 1990, that Australia New Zealand sports weekend, if you remember that.
Oh, a big couple of days there, Kearnsy.
I can only imagine. You're lucky social media wasn't around. But
we had a Bledisloe Cup win on Saturday, and the Kangaroos came out and tore up the Kiwis on the Sunday. It was a great weekend.
I bet it was. Well, congratulations, Kearnsy, on your accolade being inducted into the New South Wales Hall of Champions. And so you're set to be inducted along with the likes of, well, Craig Johnston, obviously went over there and played for Liverpool, made a name for himself, basketballer Brad Dalton. I guess to what extent do these achievements become more special, considering, I guess, your kids have grown up and, you know, your family can appreciate them so much more as well?
Yeah, they can, and it's really special, and they've been very kind to me. You know, kids often aren't very kind to you, but on this occasion they have been. My kids are all into sport and play at various levels, which I love watching, and you try not to push them too hard and just make sure they have fun, and for my part they're doing that, and if these little accolades come along the way, then it's fantastic, because you know they all think their old man's a dud. And every now and then you can prove your worth.
Congratulations, Kearnsy. But you talk about sport and how important it was for you growing up. And now, like you say, all your kids are involved in sport. And we were just sitting here a minute ago talking about, you know, the Australian fans watching this game of football. And look, they're disappointed they lost, but get on with it. What comes next? And, you know, no one turns up to the MCG. There's 10,000 people watching the game Australia versus England, this third one day. Where do you see Australia, particularly around your sport, rugby, and, you know, trying to get as many young boys and girls involved and to support a team like the Wallabies? Where do you see it in today's society in this country?
And I think, I mean, I love all sport. I think it's all terrific. And you know, in my working life, I try not to hire people unless they've played whatever level of sport, it doesn't matter, but, and particularly a team sport, it's, you know, it teaches you leadership, it teaches you how to go on with people, it teaches you that there are all different types of people out there that you need to relate with, and it just creates a terrific bond, and it doesn't matter what sport it is. And you've got those, you know, the fans behind you, and as you guys were talking about, you know, some fans take it pretty seriously, but others, well, they're just going to have another beer, aren't they? And and all those things are really important lessons in life to learn. So I think sport is much more than just kicking a ball around or whatever your activity is. It is a great microcosm on life.
Kurt, you're a great leader, and I think it's still very underestimated leadership in sport, whether it's at a board or whether it's on the field leading the playing group. For you, mate, what do you look for in a leader?
I guess someone who's natural. They don't have to put on some sort of veneer. They can associate with all sorts of people. They can pick, you know, the ways to treat people in a team. You know, you got your odd lunatic in the team, and you treat them completely different to the person who's the sort of the calm head and the person that's relaxed under pressure. And, you know, a captain's got to be able to, or a leader's got to be able to do that. And that's the same in business. I was recently involved in a campaign to help retired servicemen get into employment and leadership roles and a mentor program. And, you know, the leadership skills that those guys have got, the ability to act under pressure, people often don't know that they've got those skills. But they pick them up along the way, and certainly servicemen and sports people do that incredibly well, and women.
And we relied on your leadership for our World Cup hosting bid as well. To what extent, Kersey, was it a formality? I mean, on paper it looked that way, but I'm sure behind the scenes it was very different and a lot of hard work had to be done.
Yeah, it was. I think one of the things that fell in our favour was COVID, to be frank. Because there was no travel around the world and doing your lobbying and taking people out for dinners and all that sort of stuff. There was almost none of that. What Australia had to rely on in the end was the quality of its stadia and its past record in hosting big events. You know, we've done Olympics, we've done Com Games, we've done Rugby World Cups, we've done League World Cups, cricket, all the rest of it. So Australia knows how to put on a big event. And so really, all of Australia, its stadia and experience won us that World Cup. But leading into it, you know, there was certainly some others vying for it, but we were able to stand up on those things.
Well, we know Australians will support the World Cup when it's out of here, Kernsey, but at the moment with the Wallabies, the way they're tracking, where are they at in your mind?
I actually reckon they're right on the edge of something good. You know, the losses to France by a point, who were number two in the world, the loss to Ireland, you know, disallowed try, five injuries in that game by 3 points. They were pretty tight. This year we've beaten South Africa, we've beaten New Zealand, we've beaten Argentina. The Argies have beaten all those sides that I just mentioned as well. So they're no duck. And we've beaten England. So, you know, when we put it together, we can do it. But yep, we've just lacked a bit of discipline. And as you gain more confidence in your team, I think Dave Rennie has made a lot of changes throughout. And the more stable team that he's picking is performing reasonably well. If we can build confidence in ourselves and not give those stupid penalties away, I think we're on the verge of something pretty good.
You mentioned COVID, and there's been a big upheaval, I guess, in the structure of our domestic competition or Super Rugby. I mean, how strained, Phil, is our relationship with New Zealand rugby at the moment?
I actually think it's the pendulum had swung one way, and it was all about New Zealand, and Australia didn't stand up for itself. We've now stood up for ourselves. We've made a point. We've got a new chairman, a new CEO of Australian Rugby in place, and they've made a statement to New Zealand that if we want this to be a partnership, it's got to be a partnership, not all your way. And I think they've done the right thing and stand up against them. And I think for the most part, the respect that we've been able to gain from New Zealand is re-emerged. We're not just going to be the patsies and lie down. And so I think that relationship's in a pretty good space.
Kersey, one of the frustrations a lot of people talk to me about with the Wallabies and rugby in general, and my young bloke went to Joey's, and I've watched a lot of football, and I see some terrific kids coming through the pathways there in those school systems that rugby have got going for them. But how come rugby can't keep them, and do they do enough to try and keep these young guys in their system rather than rugby league grabbing them? Or can they compete financially as well?
Well, they're not. You know, we can't compete financially at the moment, and that's why the World Cup's so important here, and the Women's World Cup after that. It's really critical for our game. You know, AFL, I think the television deal was $2.5 billion, and I think the rugby league deal is about $2 billion. You know, ours is in the low hundreds of millions. So that's a massive difference when it comes to being able to fork out money to young kids. And I think in a lot of cases, some of these kids are pretty short-sighted. You know, to go to switch codes and go to rugby league for 10 or 20 grand, which many of them are doing, it's big money when you're 18 or 17 years of age and leaving school. But in the long-term picture of things, if you there's a lot of money to be made out of rugby, but it's not necessarily on the field. It's what happens after the game, and I think you'll acknowledge that the networks that are built up through the game for business contacts, etc., is quite extraordinary, and that's where the real benefits come in for the game. It's a lifetime decision, just not a 1 year decision. And as you know, Laurie, there's a lot of young kids that have been burnt up through both rugby league and the AFL systems for a very small amount of money.
Gee, we're in such a difficult predicament in regards to making players available for the Wallabies who play overseas. So much debate over the so-called Giddo law. Phil, is it time to scrap it and just have a free-for-all, or is that too much of a detriment to our Super Rugby franchises?
Yeah, that is the battle that you play. You've got to be able to make sure our Super Rugby provinces are well-stocked. However, you know, when it comes to the World Cup being the most important thing, it's worked for South Africa. They just have the free-for-all system, and we'll pick you. It doesn't matter where in the world you're playing. We'll find you and bring you into the squad. And if it's a quality player, then they find it pretty easy to fit into a team. It's not a hard thing to do. Two or three games together, a month of training, or if even a few weeks of training, you slot into the groove pretty quickly. So I am in favour of just picking blokes from anywhere, particularly in a World Cup year.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate your time this morning, Kersey. And once again, congratulations on the induction into the New South Wales Hall of Champions. Enjoy and chat soon.
Thanks, lads. Great to talk to you and appreciate your support. Thank you.
Good on you, Kersey.
Phil Kearns there. And the other thing about Kersey, he's raised a fortune for the Humpty Dumpty Foundation. With that Balmoral berm, which he founded
up the hill there in
Balmoral. And the Humpty Dumpty Foundation, I think they basically get medical equipment for sick kids.
Yeah.
Seriously ill and sick kids, they do.
Yeah,
they do.
So he's done a lot of work.
Kids that are premature and got problems before once they're born. With your donation, with the money, you actually buy the machine. So you don't hand the money over. You go and buy the machine. So you look at all the hospitals, and it's all around Australia. You walk into a hospital and the machine that a child's on for being, 6 weeks premier or 4 weeks premier, you'll see there's a plaque on the machine who actually bought it. So, yeah, the Humpty Dumpty Foundation, they do an amazing job.
Your team's back training, pup.
Tigers.
Pre-season training.
Yeah, I saw some photos. I saw Clemmer with the strip on.
Yep.
You look good. Suits him.
Looking sharp. And suits him. We're now joined by, he's played 41 games since his debut for Newcastle in 2019, but he played 21 games there this year for the Tigers, really establishing himself there in first grade. Played mainly in the centres, sometimes on the wing, even had a crack there at fullback. Stafford Toa joining us. Stafford, good morning to you.
Morning, mate. Thanks for having me.
No, good to have you on the show, and as we just mentioned, you're back at training. I guess describe how different it feels around the club with Tim Sheens in charge, along with Benji Marshall there, of course, as well.
Yeah, it is a good vibe having them around. There's been a lot of running, but also a lot of learning as well from Benji and Faf or Robbie. That's been good in the last few weeks.
Yeah, Stafford, what's changed? I know there's been a lot of talk about the Tigers are looking to change their style of football this year compared to what they've played over the last few years. Has anything changed already in your pre-season?
Yeah, throughout the last few weeks, we've been doing a lot of attacking under fatigue. We looked at stats throughout last year on how many tries that could have been scored but weren't scored, so... scoring tries under fatigue was one thing we worked on. And yeah, Tim Sheens is big on attacking, being really good at passing and catching, all that kind of simple stuff.
Now, Stafford, this is a tough question. I want an honest answer, all right? Tim Sheens' meetings, how long have they been going for?
You'd be surprised. I heard he could go on forever talking, but our meetings have been fairly quick. Benji speeds it up a bit, make sure he doesn't talk too long. He pulls him in line. Yeah, there's a bit of banter about them too. But
I'll tell you what, mate. He can run a long meeting, Sheensy.
Yeah, we'll see how long they'll go for during the season when games start. As of yet, it's been fairly quick, under 30 minutes.
Jeez, that is quick.
Mate, yeah, for an hour and a half. For now, you're a couple of weeks into pre-season. Wait till you get to game time, you lose a game. Yeah. You go for 9 hours.
You don't plan anything during the day, during the season.
Lock your recovery beach swim in about 6 hours after.
Now, Stafford, 2022, I guess it must have had a level of satisfaction on a personal level to play 21 games and really establish yourself as a first grader.
Yeah, personally, I moved to Tigers to play as a centre, and that happened, so I was very happy about that. But most importantly, playing consistent. At the Knights, I was kind of in and out a few games, and I couldn't get a rhythm there, but at the Tigers, and I strung a lot of games together, and I think that's what boosted my confidence and just helped chemistry as well with teammates. So, yeah, that was on a personal note, that was a big achievement for myself.
Yeah, and as a back, you can only do as much as what your forwards are doing for you. And I think your forward pack is shaping up to be terrific this season. You've been able to pick up Isaiah Papali'i, Abby Corrissau, and your former teammate and big David Clemmer. And Clem's arrived. He's always been a good trainer and in good shape. What will those guys add to the team this year, do you think?
Yeah, no, that'll be massive for us. Having Corrissau there, he'll help our middles out a lot with our go forward. I think we struggled with that a bit last year, but also having Clem and Isaiah there, they'll be heaps good for us. This will experience. Having Clemmer there at the night, fortunate to have him there. He's real good professional. And Ice as well, he's in real good form, especially playing for the Kiwis and in the finals of Paris. So, they'll be heaps good for us and, good for learning for our young forwards as well, especially with Stefano. So, looking forward to it. It'll be really exciting.
What about the loss of Jackson Hastings, mate? How has that been taken from the boys? And was that a surprise to the playing group?
Yeah, it was a surprise, actually. No one really thought of that happening. But, with him going, he was a big voice for us. So, some boys are going to have to step up, Dewey and Brooksy. I think they'll do a really good job for us. But I think our other boys have helped them out, just with the experience coming in.
You mentioned Brooksy there, and he's always under pressure, and he's always in the media, and he always cops his fair share of criticism, and he always receives it quite well. Mm. Have you noticed a difference in him this pre-season, or is he still the same? And what are you expecting out of him?
Expecting a big year from him, especially knowing that he has a number 7 jersey. but he's been in rehab last week, so he hasn't been doing too much, but he's been good around training, you know. He's been in the meetings, having pointers about training and helping all the young boys, especially the halves and the spine players, making sure they get their detail right. But he's looking in good shape, and hoping for a big year for him.
Snafford is a kid born in New Zealand. I guess there's a great affinity there with Benji Marshall. I mean, tell us about, you know, how you viewed him as a kid growing up and what it's like to now be working with him there at the Tigers.
Yeah, it is a little bit more special having Benji there as a coach. Obviously, growing up in New Zealand, all the kids wanted to be Benji, you know, playing around on the streets, trying to do his slick passes. But, he's been really influential. You know, knowing that he's done a lot in the game, you really have to listen and know that what he's saying is right, and, you know, it's going to help us a lot. And, he's going to be real good for us this year and take us to another level.
Not only have you got a change of coaches, but you've also got not so much a venue, but a different centre of excellence to train at. I mean, how's that going, and what benefits do you think that will give the team this year?
Yeah, the new centre of excellence, also known as the Zurich Centre, it's been really helpful. You know, we're able to get in there early and finish early with our stays. Last year, we'd finish early and I'll start early, finish late, because there wasn't much space in our gym and all that other stuff. Now we also have ice bars, saunas, and, you know, full-length pools and recovery centres. So, you know, it's going to help our players out a lot. Also have professionalism as well. Also, hopefully we can take that onto the field. You know, we got all the tools that's there for us. We just need to utilise it and, you know, hope we take advantage of it.
Well, Stafford, we really appreciate your time this morning, mate. Enjoy that pre-season.
Ouch.
Get involved, get stuck in. And looking forward to seeing you go to an even bigger level next year, mate. And hopefully, for Clarkie's sake,
we're talking
about a lot of Tigers wins, and your sake, of course, as well. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thank you.
France beat the Socceroos 4-1 at the World Cup this morning. Now, a text here. What did Davo tip, please, boys? He tipped today. Race 5, number 5 at Warwick Farm. That is Vindication. I've just said it's just been given a twist in. 10 cents as well. $2.70 into $2.60 in favourite with Tab. Race 5, number 5, Vindication. What about? So our great Loz has just walked outside. We're at the Stain Hotel this morning in Manly. Iconic venue. Across the road from the beach. Beautiful morning. Absolutely stunning morning here. Loz has gone out, surveyed, stood there, walked back in and gone, just had a moment, boys, had a thought. I want to live by the water.
I don't know too many people that haven't had that same thought. You know?
Tell you what, it's a good spot, isn't it?
Water is amazing to be around.
I just walked over to the beach, and the amount of people out exercising and swimming in the water, I don't know what the water temperature would be.
It would be beautiful.
Would it be beautiful?
It's freezing at the
moment. No way, mate. I was in on the weekend. It was beautiful.
Yeah, but you were in the north. In Noosa.
So why? Okay, I was in here last Thursday. Sydney Harbour.
You were virtually at the equator.
Sydney Harbour last Thursday. Magnificent. Always, and it was only like 24 degrees outside the water.
Always warmer in the harbour than the beach.
Yeah, mate.
Get in there, mate.
Tell you what, I'm tempted to go for a dip.
It's nothing better than salt water on your skin as well.
No.
Best thing for you.
No, I enjoy it. But I'll tell you what, it's an amazing day. I can't believe I don't get down here more often than what I do.
It's great. Yeah. Come around to my joint, Freshie, just up the hill there.
Yeah. I've been to Freshwater Beach before.
Yeah, it's the best beach in Sydney, not that I'm biased. Now, we're making our man Mossy homesick with all this chat about the Northern Beaches, and he's over there in Qatar. He's witnessed the 4-1 defeat this morning. It started unbelievably for the Socceroos. They led after 9 minutes. He joins us. Mossy, good evening to you. How are you feeling?
Good evening, good morning. Very little voice left after the Craig Goodwin goal. But, mate, just in awe of the quality of France. You know, they busted a myth, just like Laurie Daly did just then. I always thought Laurie was on the water already with a jetty and a boat at the end of it. But France didn't start this tournament slowly, although they did in the first half, and we capitalised on that. But they had a few more gears to go, and they certainly put their foot down in the second half.
Tell me what it was like inside the stadium, though, Mossy, when Goodwin scored that early goal and, you know, put France on the back foot, because early they came out and looked as though they were putting Australia under pressure, and then I suppose, I don't know whether it was against the run of play, but we scored, and all of a sudden, even this venue here, it was just jumping, it was bouncing.
Yeah, it was incredible, Oz. It was a strange atmosphere tonight, actually. When we scored, the place was rocking with the Australian fans, but we were outnumbered probably, I reckon, 4-1. But there was certainly a lot of noise and a lot of positivity. And then when France stepped up and they scored, the atmosphere was obviously great from a French point of view. But during the lulls in the game, you could hear a pin drop. So it was a sort of strange atmosphere, but ebbed and flowed. But that goal, and look, that was, you know, executed brilliantly by the Socceroos. You had Harry Suter playing a long ball out to Lecky, first touch inside, rinsed his defender and played a beautiful pass across the face of goal for Goodwin to produce a great finish first time. And that's the sort of thing that comes straight off the training park. So it was great to see us score in open play and execute like that. But, gee, the golfing class with the likes of Dembélé and Giroud and Mbappe was frightening when you're there live watching it.
Mossy, tell me if I'm being too harsh, and I know France are an amazing team, but was our defence poor?
You know what, Clarky? Sometimes you got to put your hand up. They were unbelievable. Mbappe, I've never seen a human being move so quickly on a football field. He's so rapid. The timing of his runs are brilliant. And if you look at the level they're playing individually and the level we're playing, you know, it's more about putting your hand up and saying they were just too good rather than we defended poorly, because, you know, we gave the ball away, Atkinson, for their second goal, and that was a killer blow, really. Conceding two quick goals like that against France really knocked the stuffing out of us. But you just have to put your hands up and say they were absolute quality when they put the foot to the floor.
From what you just saw off that one performance from France, and obviously they've got a lot of improvement to come, we were sitting here thinking, oh, well, France can't win it because they've lost a number of superstars leading into the tournament. But just on that one performance, knowing that they're going to get better, where do you see them? Still a chance?
Oh, look, there or thereabouts. I mean, I think they're third favourites in the markets going into the World Cup. So, you know, I don't think anything will have changed there. You know, whether they can win it or not with the players that they're missing, you know, that remains to be seen. But you've got the likes of, you know, Argentina were, you know, they were second, I think, on the bookies list. And they had a shocker, massive upset today, losing to Saudi Arabia. That's one of the biggest upsets in World Cup history. So, you know, the conditions out here are different to what teams are used to for World Cup. So, as we said the other day, that will play a part.
Yeah, just touch on that seismic result. Like you say, one of the greatest World Cup upsets ever. I mean, where do Argentina go from here? I mean, it's not obviously, you know, they can still win the next two games and probably qualify, but I saw reports of even their journalists in tears in the mix zone interviewing players after the game.
Yeah, well, as you know, Mido, it really is a religion over there in Argentina, this game. And, you know, that was it was huge, because Argentina really should have been done and dusted by half time. They had three disallowed goals for the slightest of offsides in that first half. They could have been out of sight. They weren't. And to be fair to Saudi Arabia, they changed tactically in the second half because they were playing a very high defensive line, which was leaving them exposed to Argentina in the first half. But they got the result. Argentina will bounce back. We've got no doubt they are quality. And what they showed in the first half, you know, if they took a couple of those chances, it's a very different conversation. So not like that was a poor performance and they didn't create. They did, and I'm sure they'll bounce back in the second game.
Yeah, the other thing, I suppose, Mossy, coming into the tournament, they hadn't lost in 36 matches either. So if they finish on top of their group, it might be a wake-up call for them.
That's right, Loz. You know what that's like when you're on a huge run like that and all of a sudden you get a slap across the chops and, you know, they say in sport, don't poke the bear. Well, Saudi Arabia have just poked the Bear that's supposed to be second in betting. So you can expect a reaction in game two.
Okay, quick turnaround then for the Socceroos. Saturday night, our time. Tunisia, $2.15 with Tab. The Socceroos, $3.60. The draw paying $3.10. And we watch Tunisia and Denmark have a scoreless draw overnight as well. Not sure if you saw it, Mossy, but that's probably the best possible result for us, isn't it, in the other game?
It certainly is, yeah. We watched the first half just before we got on the bus to go to our game. So, you know, in Denmark, they looked impressive, as we expected. They're very, very strong physically and mentally, the Danes. So they'll be tough, but Tunisia did well to keep them to a scoreless draw, and that's a great result for us. Keeps us in it. You know, if nothing changes, really, aside from the fact that we still need to get that 3 points against Tunisia, and then the 1 point will probably have to come against Denmark in the third game, but that'll be tough. First things first, bounce back. I think it'll be fantastic if we can get Arjun Rustic on the pitch in the second game. I think we missed his quality tonight. So hopefully he'll be fit for the second game. I think Degenek probably gives us a bit more strength at the back as well. Atkinson, look, he was up against Mbappe, so it's hard to mark him on that. But he had a tough night at the office.
Yeah, no doubt. Now tell us what the atmosphere was like, the vibe there. It looked like there was plenty of green and gold around.
There was, yeah, it was good. It was really good. And outside the ground, you know, there's parties going on at the moment. There's bands and DJs playing, and Aussies are, you know, wiping away the tears and getting on with it like we do, and I'm sure that's what's happening inside the dressing room as well.
Well, mate, we'll let you go and have a good sleep, and we go again, mate. We go again, Saturday night our time. Enjoy. Plenty to talk about over the next couple of days, as well as some big countries get their campaigns underway as well.
Look forward to it, boys. Enjoy the Stain.
It's been a great morning here at the Stain in Manly. Great to be here. There seem to be as many French fans in here as Socceroos fans this morning, but a good crowd. The venue's open all throughout the World Cup too, so if you're looking for a venue in Sydney to get to, our man here running the show, Rob, who we had on the show earlier, he said it was naturally boisterous when England were playing the other night. No
surprise,
shock there.
Surprise.
But plenty of nationalities represented, no doubt, in this part of Sydney, across the road from the beach. Loz has been surveying some real estate in the last half hour after he had just a moment where he thought, no, I want to be by the water. Well, we'll get Loz's volume back and get him back on air. And we got you there, Loz.
Am I on air now?
You're on.
Right, sorry, boys. No, I'll just start that again.
Too busy doing laps up and down the beach. Put your headphones on, would you?
I'll tell you what. So, yeah, this is how the conversation is going to play out when I get home. Darling, we're moving to Manly.
That's okay. She'll be up for it.
Are you going to pay cash for your property?
What are you looking for? House? Apartment?
I don't care.
Is it just the two of you, or you're bringing the fam? You're bringing the kids?
The kids will come.
You need a house.
Kids will come.
A big house.
My kids won't be leaving home for a while.
Then you need a big home. Yeah.
They got it good, don't they?
Oh, mate.
Yeah, I can see you. I can see you, Manly.
They have it so good. But my wife, she's a, can I say this? She's a helicopter parent.
What's that mean?
Is that what they call it?
Helicopter parent.
You know, they're always around and looking after them and doing everything for them. And
yeah, that's called a parent.
Paying everything for them.
That's
called a good parent.
That I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I think that's what they call them.
Helicopter parent.
Yeah.
I'd say good parenting, looking after a kid.
Nah, it's just...
You reckon they're babied? You want to let them...
I know they're babied.
Yeah, okay.
I know they're babied.
Yeah, that's all right. That's,
I couldn't imagine you're tough, though. Oh, you'd melt.
Oh, I'm tougher than my wife.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Eh?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe on your boy you might be. You might want him to get out of mum's pocket. But your girls, mate, you're soft as butter. Yes.
No, not really. No. But they just, I don't know, they've got to get out a bit more. Get out and live and experience.
Kick them out. It's pretty simple. Say, rightio, you're off mum and dad's watch. Yeah, get out.
But then I'll lose the wife too.
I don't want to share.
Oh, yeah, you might find a good spot at Manly.
I don't want to share the little amount of money I have.
Half a lot's as lots.
It's been great to be here this morning, though. Thanks to all the staff and everyone for having us. And what a venue it is. Iconic, yeah. The Stain in Manly. Dave Stanley, good morning to you.
Morning, Middo. Morning, boys. Yeah, the Stain. I've got good memories of the Stain. When I first moved down to Sydney to start at Sky, discovered the Stain Hotel and plenty of good nights there. It's they've done it up, haven't they, Middo? They used to have the Chinese.
So where did you hang out, Dave? Because you've got that Stain front bar where the tab area is, and then you've got the little beer garden, then you've got the main bar, then you've got upstairs, and you've also got out the front.
I'd start
so you can look out the course.
That bistro looks like a bit of a refurb. Yeah. Looks like that might be an add-on.
Yeah.
That's a great spot in there.
Started in the tab area. It was kind of like going to the races in the old days. You know how you'd go, I never experienced it, but the old blokes will say, you know, you started down the end of the race course and you'd win your money to try and work your way up to members. It was like that. So you'd start in the tab area, try and have a win. Then you'd go out to the courtyard area.
Yep.
Then you'd work your way around to the bar. And, yeah, there's some
because there's so many little rabbit warrens here, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's big.
Yeah. It's good to hide.
It's got a rooftop
as well. Good, no, if you want to hide, you can come to this joint.
Yeah, it's outstanding. So, good stuff. And interesting hearing you talk about that, about the, you know, your kids not moving out, Loz, and being around for a long time. Do you boys remember when you first had to make, like with the three of you, you've all had to sort of leave home, get out on your own, you know, to maybe play the sport, or Middo, it was you chasing your media and whatnot. And I was just reminiscing then about that, you know, tying it with Stain. But how bad was it? Because I remember going from, like, living with mates in Brisbane, right? So I moved out of home and just moved in with some boys that I went to school with, which was literally a kilometre down the road. So if I went to the races on the Saturday or went to the pub on the Saturday night, blew the lot. I knew I could lob up and just raid the pantry at Mum's on Sunday. And
you're still welcome back.
Yeah.
But you've got to learn. You've got to learn how to survive. You've got to learn how to earn money. You've got to learn how to pay bills. You've got to learn how to cook your own meal.
100%. So I went from living there to moving to Sydney for this job. And I had to get on that Flat Finders, and I found a joint in Neutral Bay with a bloke that there was a German bloke, a French bird, and a...
Is this
a
joke?
It was a Russian. No, it's not. Mate, man, I dead set went from that. And then I soon found out that if I didn't back any winners at the pub, there was no tucker.
So how did you go with the German and the French bloke? Were they punters?
And did I hear you say there's a Russian somewhere in between
there
as well?
Russian. There was a Russian as well.
So they punt?
No, mate, they didn't even speak English. So, mate, I've lobbed and gone, g'day. And they're just, like, looking at me.
Right.
Mate, it was a, yeah. It was,
show them how to put a quaddy on or anything like
that's
that?
That's right. Nah, got them up to the Oak, sort of said, yeah, how's it going? But, yeah, it was bizarre. It was bizarre. But, anyway, it's all about growing up. Boys, we need to try and find some winners. Speaking of Wednesday racing, they're at Warwick Farm today, and it looks like a cracking day outside. Matt Smith's going to join us this morning, who's got some runners. We've got Mitch Cohen. We've also got Ben Cohen. Now, Ben is an Irish jockey who's over here. He's going to be doing some riding for Chris Waller. We're going to chat with Ben. He's rides over there for Johnny Murtagh. And you might have seen Clinton Payne and some articles about him in the News Limited papers. Well, we're going to chat with Ben this morning because he's hopefully going to, you know, ride plenty of winners this summer and learn about Australian racing and how we obviously train over here, because they do ride track work in Ireland, and it's very different to what it would be like out there at Rose Hill with Chris Waller. Jared Austin will join us, David Pfeiffer, and also Fitzy from Inglis as well. And boys, we're counting down towards the Starlight Stakes and whatnot in Sydney on the weekend, but then Friday week, bring on Mudgee. Wine Country boys will be out there for the big cup, and from all reports, that track, which was affected by flooding, it raced last weekend, passed with flying colours, and it's all going good. So happy days, boys.
Great stuff, Dave, and we'll be back tomorrow. I'm a bit flat now after the Socceroos. It's just hit me.
Can I just say, what did Mossy say? I missed Mossy this morning, but Mossy was sort of saying last night he was in the desert with Cozzy, and they're all going, how good, and they're probably not saying how good now. Was that sort of a bit of...
Mossy just
sitting, France.
Sitting
France
there live, he's like, he just saw the golf
in appreciation
class.
Of the skill level.
Yeah, he said he's never seen someone sort of with get around the pitch as speedy and just with the timing of his runs as good as Kylian Mbappe. I mean, just one of the classiest footballers. Hence, I think he's the highest paid footballer on the planet at the moment. So
I was listening to a podcast, boys, and even Steve, my panel op, who loves your soccer, mentioned this yesterday. And I don't know if Mossy's mentioned it, but These stuff that I've been listening to about these punting podcasts, there's a lot of the sort of experts are backing teams that have just only pretty much come off their sort of club games only recently. Whereas we, as the Socceroos, some of these blokes haven't played for a while. There's been, you know, months of preparation and games against New Zealand and whatnot here and there. But like say the English and even to a degree the French, they've only pretty much sort of come off their leagues only recently, so they're quite match fit and they sort of arrive late. Has Mossy mentioned any of that to you guys?
Well, the issue in our squad has been some key players at their clubs who haven't been getting regular playing time. I mean, we've had we've had a few less games in the A-League this season to what the European leagues have had, but it's been, the issue has been, well, Matt Ryan's barely played. He's our keeper in goal. He's our captain. So he's barely played for his club side this season. So, and there's a few other players in the same or a similar boat. So that's been a bit of an issue for us heading into the tournament for sure.
Okay. All right. We'll keep an eye on those markets then. I think we've got, Tunisia next, don't we?
Tunisia is Saturday night, 9 o'clock.
Saturday night. Are we favourites or are we big outsiders now?
No, we are. The marketing tab has us, Tunisia $2.15, Australia $3.60, the draw $3.10 with tab.
Okay, I like it. Boys, go and enjoy your Wednesday. We've got a good racing coming away. The boys, that is Mido, Pup and Loz, they'll be back from 5:30 tomorrow morning on the Big Sports Breakfast as we continue to digest what happened this morning there in Qatar with, of course, France beating the Socceroos 4-1.